today on Real Radio.
He's always just in time. See, Jack, I don't know if I believe that. Seems to me that God's been late sometimes. Never late. Well, he didn't act the way I wanted him to act on time. He acted on time, just in time. He's never late. He's never early. See, we want him to be early. He's never early.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Just in Time, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 7. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. You know, we as human beings can't be trusted to properly evaluate ourselves before God's standards. We have a tendency to justify our own position and our actions. The sermon titled Just in Time means God declared us just based on what Christ did on the cross. And just in time also means that He is always on time. For living under the law means we are living under the judgment of the law and outside of Christ. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we were alienated from God by birth. And as children in bondage, we're pinned down by the passions and desires of our past. Prior to our conversion to Christ, we were under the law, foolish and unpredictable. And now, in his lesson called Just in Time, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So grab your Bibles today and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, we'll be in verses 1 through 7. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. And Paul is instructing us how to stay clear of legalism. Galatians 4, beginning at verse 1. He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master over all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I don't know if you remember this, but putting this message together, this thought came to my mind. The law is something that if you're going to attempt to fulfill and to live up to and meet, you don't have to go too far and too long into it until you find out you become a slave of it. However, the gospel frees you from the law that you might become a son or a daughter of God. And that is by the grace of God. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus lived his life. Jesus rose again from the dead to fulfill the demands of the law, but not only that, but to justify us, that is to declare us righteous by his own declaration based upon faith. Your simple belief in what Jesus has done. Well, here's the deal. Growing up, did you do what I did? When the issue became an issue about height, I don't know about you girls, but us guys, it was a big deal. Height, how tall are you? Some punk at school somewhere at some point in time asked the question, well, I'm taller than you are. How tall are you anyway? You quickly went home, right, guys, and you took out your dad's old Stanley tape measure and you put it against the wall and you began to mark 4 feet, 4.5, or whatever, or maybe 2 feet, whatever it was, and you began to mark it. And then what'd you do? You put the tape down, you stood back against the wall, you took out a book or something and you marked it, you flattened down your hair and all that stuff. And well, maybe you didn't, maybe you cheated and used the top of your hair, don't know. But you marked the wall, then you went back and looked and you judged yourself according to the rule. And if you were a kid like I was, you'd go back a day or two later and you'd mark it again. The only problem was, yeah, you were not growing fast enough. Man, when am I going to grow? And so, you know, you remember, stand up straighter, and you're trying to put on a show that you're growing. And you would always judge it according to the rule, the standard, in private and in secret, but out in public, you know, you were sizing everybody up. Girls, this is how guys grow up. Oh, he's taller than you. I'm taller than him. And it's that kind of a thing. Well, the law is much like that. The law stands there with its great Ten Commandments, and not only that, but the Levitical laws and all the traditions and the requirements of men throughout the age, and it stands there, and it is the perfect standard, and you put yourself up to it, and you're short every time. You're just not growing as quick as you'd like to grow. And you're wondering, why is it? Now that I know about God, I seem to be falling further away from God because it says this or that in the commandments of God, but I'm not doing it. And it doesn't take long for you to come under this deep, dark cloud of lack of performance and lack of what you would say holiness because you're not meeting the standard. When in reality, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to enforce the standard of perfection, yes, but Jesus put himself, as it were, up against the law and towered over it. And through his obedience, he met the demands, the requirements of the law. You would say, well, how does that help me? The Bible says that for all those who are in Christ, we have passed from judgment unto life. Well, how does that work? Well, we're going to hear about it a little bit this morning. As we look to our study in Galatians chapter 4, the title of the message is Just in Time. And I hope you kind of get it this way. Just in time. Certainly, we're going to talk about the timing of God. Galatians 4, verse 4, very specific about that. But just in time, just in time. God declared you just by what Christ has done on the cross. God knew before you were ever born. Those who would say yes to Jesus. The Bible says based upon the foreknowledge of God, he knows everything. He knows the future before it ever happens. In fact, to God, there is no future. He knows the decisions that are in the hearts of men. Based upon the foreknowledge of God, he predestined those who would believe in him. And if you read on in Scripture, it's glorious. Those he foreknew, he predestined, he also justified, glorified, and eventually, as we read this morning, he declared us sons, or girls, daughters. Don't get all, you know, don't do that to me. And so God does a wonderful thing. And he does it not only declaring us just in time and eternity for that matter, but he's always just in time. See, Jack, I don't know if I believe that. Seems to me that God's been late sometimes. Never late. Well, he didn't act the way I wanted him to act on time. He acted on time, just in time. He's never late. He's never early. See, we want him to be early. He's never early. But when he's not arriving according to our timetable, we accuse him of being late. And yet, if you live life a little bit longer, don't you find out through experience that God was never late concerning that particular situation, that he's always just in time? It's true. So as we look to our study this morning, first thing I want you to jot down that we learn is in verses 1, 2, and 3, and that regarding time and God's timing, what we once were. Can you put that down? What we once were. And the fact is that we were once people who were in bondage to the law. Bondage to sin and death. And it doesn't matter if you had a religious persuasion or not. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. Doesn't matter. The fact is that you and I, before we came to Christ, we were bound under a bondage of law. And so he says here in verses 1, 2, and 3, now I say that the heir, that is somebody who's going to be getting something really, really good in the future. So this is a good thing. That whoever the heir is, as long as he's a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The first thing I want you to notice here is in verse 1 is that before we came to Jesus Christ, we were locked down, as it were, within ourselves. We were, according to the Bible, outside the blessings of God. We were not saved. We were in trouble. We were under the requirements of the law, which just pointed its finger at us and accused us in righteousness, though. Because the law is holy. The law is good. But the law can't save. But the law pointed and pointed and pointed every error of our lives. We were, as it were, held in this place, locked inside of who we were. We were people that were alienated from God by birth. Yes, it's true, by birth. Don't let anybody ever tell you, well, we're all sons and daughters of God. The whole world. That's not what the Bible says. I know it's really politically correct to say that we're just all sons and daughters of God. But you know what? The Bible speaks the exact opposite of that. The whole world is not the sons and daughters of God. The Bible makes it very clear. There are sons and daughters of God, and there are those who are not. And it's very specific. But I'm not going to win any awards talking like that, so we'll just keep moving on. No, I'm kidding. No, we'll always talk the Bible talk. Even though it's not popular, it's true. But deep down inside, the truth of the matter is the law is at work by the Holy Spirit to tell people, you're not living for God. You're not of God. People know this. Look, I don't know how long it's been since you were converted to Jesus Christ, but for me it's been a while, but I haven't forgotten how I used to live. And I was not living for God, at least not God with a capital G. I was living for God with a little lowercase g. God, me. I was living for me and having quite fun doing it. I would get some money, I'd spend it on me. I get some time, it's my time. If anybody was cutting the piece of the pie, I wanted the bigger piece. When anybody put up a group picture, I looked for me. Oh, don't laugh. Who'd you look for in the group picture? You don't look for your, oh, hey, that's a nice looking stranger in that picture. No, you look for you. Look at my hair. Look at my clothes. Look, isn't that funny? That's us. And we still do that, but we're not going to talk about that right now because we're Christians now. No, listen, we were locked inside of the person that we were before we were converted, and we lived according to those passions. We lived for our own desires, and that is the hallmark of a world without God. It lives for its own desires, but we're not of the world anymore. So when he says, as long as the heir is a child, he doesn't differ from a slave, get a load of this. The slave works for the master. The master and his wife had children. And the child of the master is heir to the wealth or the throne or whatever. Are you with me? Those wealthy homes had guardians and stewards. Guardians served one function. The steward, by the way, was most often singular, and that he was a steward over the house. He was like Joseph was for his Pharaoh. Okay? Very powerful. Even though he was a slave, he had very, very much authority over what went on. The guardians, they got that child up. Now, listen, parents, I thought on this for quite a while. This is very cool. No, I'm serious. This is no joke. They had guardians that would get the kid dressed. They would get the kid fed. They would do all the mechanics of parenting. But you know what they did? And this is what they believed in. We have a slave to get that kid ready and to make sure he goes to and from school and that he stays out of trouble so that we can just love on them. You know what that is? That's a description of a grandparent. It's a grandparent. The grandparent says, all right, son, make sure Junior's all dressed up and he's here at my house at 5 o'clock. Why? Because Grandpa's going to spoil him rotten. In fact, and when the little guy is spoiled rotten, Grandpa just gives him back to his son and their family. It's a great deal. I can't wait to be a grandparent, honestly. I mean, I can't wait. I'm going to take that little kid and I'm just going to spoil him rotten and then give him back to my kids to straighten out. Listen, the guardian and the stewards, they were governors, as it were, over the master's children so that the master, of course, would be freed up to go about his business, but also just love on his kids. Very interesting thing. Well, what we learn here is that as long as that heir to the throne, the heir of the father's wealth, is a child, he doesn't differ from any of the slaves' children because they would attend the same class in the house. So that teacher would be there and he would be talking to the heir of the throne and to the slave children as well. And guess what? If that slave child got out of hand, he would be disciplined. And if the heir to the throne got out of hand, he would be disciplined. Did you know the ancient world thought that if you spoiled your children, you were doing them an injustice and you were robbing them from being a viable participant in the future workings of the adult world? Did you know that? They thought, don't spoil a child because they won't function properly. Well, too bad they didn't know what we know. That's the worst thing you can do is spoil a kid. They wind up growing up thinking, okay, now I'm graduated. Somebody give me something. Surely you're going to give me this job. You're going to give me a raise, aren't you? Give me, give me, give me. Oh, no, you got to earn it. And in that time, slaves and even the heir to the throne had to participate, as it were, in the same level. This is a picture that Paul paints for us, that every human being is under the demands of the law, the perfect, just law. And it knows no status. It knows no favoritism. It doesn't care if you're an heir to the throne or you're a slave. The law, as we've been teaching, has no emotion, has no feelings. It can't say it's sorry, and it wouldn't if it could. It's the law. And it is to be righteous. It is to be unmovable because it projects God's great and holy standard. But we were children under that bondage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, regarding those who are outside of Christ, says that their understanding has been darkened. Isn't that not the world we live in today? Isn't the world stupid today? Really, it truly is. We have more technology and we're just ignorant about how to live life. Having their understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Remember, we were all there once. Because of the hardness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, and they work within themselves all kinds of uncleanness and greed. Isn't that the world? Say, man, I remember that world that I used to once live in. Yeah, but God brought you via the law, and it convicting you of your sin brought you into the knowledge of Jesus Christ because you cried out to God and you said, God, help me. I can't save myself. Well, listen, as long as he's a child, the Jews do this, bar mitzvah for the boys. What's the female one called? Bat mitzvah, girls, bar mitzvah, guys. In Rome, it was toga virilis. If you were an 18-year-old Roman citizen, not a Jew, when you reached 18 years of age, they had a ceremony for you. And it's very cool. Listen to this, and you'll hear Paul's writings to the Gentile believers. When you were 18 years of age in the Roman Empire, when you reached toga virilis, what happened was you brought before the Roman or Greek gods your childhood toys. In our culture, if it was I'm not even hip with our culture. I was going to say a Tonka truck. Sorry. Sorry, young people. I don't know, what would it be now? Your PlayStation, your Xbox. You would bring your Xbox before the pagan gods of the Greeks, and you would present it there. And if you were a little girl, girls, help me out here. Do girls have dolls these days? Really? You would bring your pink Xbox and set it there. And you would lay it out there before the ancient pagan gods of the Greeks, and you would say this, I have now put away childish things. I was once a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, I conducted myself as a child. You would make this declaration to the ancient Greek gods, and then you would dedicate your old toys to these gods, and they would take off your childhood robe, and they would put upon you a toga. And that toga announced that you were now of age, you were an adult, you were a man, and you are no longer operating under the childhood guardians and stewards. You're free. No wonder it rings in your ears what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, he said to those converted non-Jews in Corinth, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. They all went, oh, I remember saying that. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It is a promotion or a graduation unto adulthood. And certainly we're talking about spiritual matters. So Paul is talking about until a child receives the knowledge and comes into the understanding of, listen, of salvation in Christ, the law was, as it were, a guardian and a steward or a tutor, we learned last time. But listen to this, and I don't want to go too far off in this. God knows those who are going to become his children. He knows this. In fact, if you read Romans chapter 9, that's what it's all about. God knows in advance who's going to be his and who's not going to be his. He knows this in time and eternity based upon his foreknowledge. Based upon his foreknowledge, he then predestines according. So what's very important about this is that God knew, as we read this portion of Scripture, as long as he's a child. Well, how many of you in here this morning are born again, you're going to heaven, Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Listen, put your hand down. Before you came to Christ, God was using the law in your life just like a child who has yet to come to the understanding of your vast inheritance in Christ. Very important. Well, listen, verse 2, we learn this, that when we were once children of this bondage of the law, we were pinned down by that old life, that BC, before Christ life. It had us pinned down in that the past controlled us. Now, this is very touchy. And every time you bring up the past, people will be offended. You want to know why? Because your past was offensive in most cases. You say, well, Pastor, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I encourage you to look up the word dysfunctional in the dictionary. And you will find out that every one of us have grown up in a dysfunctional home. Dysfunctional is anything that's not perfect. Did you grow up in a perfect home? Well, we're dysfunctional, see? The truth of the matter is, we're not going to grow up in a perfect home in this life and in this world. We must understand something, that we need to put the past behind us. Yes, it is a discipline. Yes, it rubs us the wrong way. But listen to what God would tell us out of the Bible. Paul says, forget those things that are behind. Now, as long as you are trying to mount a crusade, you can't forget those things that are behind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just in Time. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have embraced your inheritance by being joint heirs with Christ just in time. And you know, Just in Time is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we're justified through faith, and not of our works should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Let me give you a tab that's going to really help you if you're interested in leading other people to the Lord. It's a tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we've all been there at some point. You're really strong in your faith. You know what you know. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. But sometimes you may be a struggle to share it with other folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to the Know God tab. That's K-N-O-W, God, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack's got a great video there that's going to help you approach non-believers in your life. You can learn from this video yourself or send it to an unbelieving friend. It's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that if you've missed any episodes of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that we have you taken care of? There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit us on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.